Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Moon Talk Radio Presents. This is Gray Dale Martez Harris, and I'm giving you another episode. This one is entitled Trusting in Your Fantasy, the Full Moon. So, we just had a full moon that passed. Happy Palm Sunday for some of you. Happy Passover for others. Happy spring for many of you. I don't think I've done a podcast since we've gotten into it. So, how is this new Sun in Aries transit got everybody feeling? The Sun in Aries is really bringing awareness to ourselves, our own will, our own ego, the things we want to build for ourselves, the things that are related to the first house, which is your house of identity. It's your car. What kind of car are you driving? Is it a sports car? Is it a minivan because you have a family? Is it a truck? What color is it? What's the interior like? Is it souped up in any way? You know? Do you wash it often? Do you allow other people to drive it? To drive you? How's the path going? Is the road windy? Turbulent? Is it smooth sailing with a nice view for you? With the full moon just passing, March 28th, in Libra, it's definitely going to have you feeling more receptive about your relationships, how you want to weigh things out, what's important related to employment, logistics, paperwork. Airy things, things that have to do with communication, connection. You're on a ship and you're relating. It's a relationship, right? And that doesn't mean that can, I mean, Libra could be talking about your spouse, obviously, because it's the seventh house, it rules the spouse. So it opposes the Sun in Aries feeling of myself, my own ego, what I want, right? That's that moment of sinistry where all of your intentions get sidetracked by this other being that ends up meaning the world to you. So here the moon, which is basically the wife to the earth, right? Ask the moon what was going on during the pyramids. I always say, ask the moon what's going on during like the dinosaurs. It was there circling, right? This whole idea of dual partnership. We need the moon. So it's not just a satellite for us. A lot of us, oh, it's a satellite and it's like a symbol. No, it's a dual partnership. We need the moon. It affects the water in our bodies. It affects the water on the earth. It's needed. So there's this concept of the emotional intelligence, because that's what the moon is really ruling in your life and the way that you receive information in. So it has a lot to do with the filter of the conscious into the subconscious, right? As Aries is cardinal and so is Cancer, where the moon comes from. But Cancer is water and Aries is fire. Fire is doing, pushing. You feel fire from a distance. You can smell it, you can see it, you can sense it, you can feel it. Warmer, 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 hot, burning. It's pushing versus receiving in and allowing or surrendering, which is more the moon or Cancer or water. I don't know why I wanted to explain those two, but I guess because we're talking about this full moon concept, and what I'm getting to is what the full moon does for you. So when I say how you're doing, that's a loaded question, right? How's your car? How's your first house? How's your identity? The moon is full. So we're all kind of thinking of the full cycle of emotions that we've had since the last full moon, since the new moon even, where we set intentions, even subconsciously within ourselves. A lot of the times, I talk with my mom often, and I try to over-explain things to her sometimes because I have Gemini rising, and I want to explain things. Probably one of the reasons why I have a podcast. And she doesn't see the point in it a lot. She's a Sagittarius, so it's like she has certain things that are just so innate inside of her. She just knows. And she's like, why are we talking about this? It's this. Everybody knows the moon is there. Da, da, da. You know, certain things just are more innate for other people. So it's not for everyone. By that, I mean, not everyone has the same needs. But that doesn't mean that they aren't perceiving what you're perceiving, or vice versa. Sometimes we think people aren't aware to things because they're not connecting with us on our level. Relationships, we're on a ship and we're relating, Libra, full moon. But in actuality, it's related to Sun and Aries, our mindset, our ego, and our ability to take in what they put out. So every person that you meet is really more of a reflection of the synastry of your own life. Synastry is what we call, it's astrologically, it's basically when two natal charts are being compared or come together, and you see where points are similar or different, or where the aspects are, the synastry of things, like the synastry of a relationship between two people. A lot of couples go and they will go to a professional astrological licensed person, that's not me, and they will get, you know, these two comparisons. Now, I'm a seer, so there are a lot of things that I can give you through my emotional intelligence and through my gifts of spirit and through the tarot and through my relationship with God, and through the natal chart and the knowledge that I know of the planets, tropically, typically, and some sidereally. But when you go to, like, basically a scientist almost, yeah, someone who really philosophically studies natal charts and has gone through this training, they will explain certain synastry of couples. And a lot of couples go seasonally or throughout the years. And that just helps the couple with their commitment with each other, which is that plateau of the connection. The full moon itself is bringing out all of these emotions inside of you that you not necessarily have suppressed, but that you have been carrying or holding. Water holds things, and then it bursts or releases. It's been scientifically proven even that insane asylums are like more crazy during the full moon, right? And that typically a lot of accidents, more accidents happen a lot of the times. Just, it depends also on where the moon is transiting through, obviously, and all of these things. But the moon itself being at a heightened state is influencing everyone. You know, even especially womanhood. I was thinking before I did this podcast, I was laying there and I was awakened. literally in the middle of the night. And I had talked to Carmen, the co-founder. We go back and listen to some of the podcasts we've started and we're going to be having together. And she had called me up. I was watching Waiting to Exhale on my way to sleep. And I had just gotten my first vaccination. So I went up to get this vaccination. I'm working now again in Times Square. And one of the customers randomly had reminded me that I could, because of set, you know, now that I'm working, get this vaccination. I could push through with it. And they set an appointment for me. I gave them my number, a complete stranger. I don't even know her name now. Thank you, stranger, who I have your number. And I've thanked her, you know, but I don't even know her name. I can't say her name on the podcast, but she was a very nice lady. And I was working and running around and doing things. And we connected and she, Gemini rising, the moon was in Libra, right? We connected and I gave her my number, a complete stranger. And she said she was going to set the appointment up for me. And I went to sleep and I woke up in the morning at 6 something in the morning to a text message with a photo from a laptop, with an appointment and a serial number and all this stuff in the Bronx. For 3:30, basically today, yesterday. And so I went and I, you know, waited in line like a classic New Yorker. It was very smooth sailing in the Bronx and the people there were wonderful. I had a nurse who was very much like my grandmother. It was like the moon in Libra is giving you that feeling of relating, you know, and it's like we're getting to this full moon. And I felt like it was like a big hug or something being in there. I mean, I could have had an uncomfortable experience as a trans Black woman. I have so many uncomfortable experiences. I'm used to uncomfortable experiences. And it wasn't that. It was a very simple, straightforward, nice experience. I got on the train. I got dressed. I went. People seemed like they were ready to relate because it's been COVID life. I think we are all kind of like this idea of the vaccination is like a blankie of sorts and hope for us, Aquarius, which is the other air, right? So there's this hope for the future now, versus not having hope for the future a year ago when we were all locked down and terrified about, like, we can't breathe in 1 year. So going and relating and talking with everybody, and they asked for my serial number and I went in and, you know, they led me to this woman who really just looked like my grandmother, honestly. She was just a beautiful older Black woman who had that whole big mama feel to her. And her name is Margaret. A shout out to Margaret Aham. You were wonderful. And she did an amazing job and made me feel very comfortable and told me all the things I needed to know and would feel. I had my vaccination and then I had to go into the next room. They wait for your side effects and all these things, like 15 minutes for your side effects. And after a set amount of time, then you're released. And so my arm is kind of killing me. I was laying there in the middle of the night. And so it woke me up. And it was also just a spiritual awakening because it's a full moon. My moon is in Cancer. And there's this whole idea of You have Moon Talk Radio and you need to get to it. How are you going to have something about the moon and then like not really dive into the full moon concept a little bit? And so it was all very subconscious and powerful, but all of the dates going on right now, and Easter coming up now after the Palm Sunday and the Passover and everything just kind of subconsciously awakened me. I actually was looking outside for the moon and it was clouded by all these thick clouds here in New York City. So I ran to the front of the room to see, or the front of the house, not the front of the room, the front of the house to see from the other side. And I still could not see the moon, but I could feel it and sense all of the luminous light coming from it. And I was like, oh, it's time to relate. It's time to get on the podcast. Yeah, so that full circle of what the moon is doing for you right now. You might want to look back, think about what happened during Pisces season for you. You know, Mercury transiting Pisces now, and, you know, it being the sun in Pisces before, that's the subconscious. That's the mind collectively now taking all the data in, all of the involuntary functions of the body, things that you just do, blinking and breathing. But you can also choose to do them, very Aries, right? And so what are you choosing to do? That's kind of like what the full moon is bringing back around, right? And that synastry of what you choose to do and how it relates to other people, because we are constantly relating to other people in this world. That's what the moon in Libra is kind of highlighting. And that's what I was hinting at with the sun in Aries, your mind, your car, your thoughts. And then all of a sudden, it's like the concept of masculine energy, even masculine and feminine, which can be played out in roles in any kind of way. The masculine is seeing the thing with laser sharp eyes like Cyclops. And the thing, which is being seen, which would be like Jean Grey, I'm using X-Men right now as an example, Scott and Jean, would be like the Earth and the Moon. The Moon is Jean Grey, and she's receiving all of the messages. She can also push the messages. She can do all of those things. It's both. It's dual. She can receive the message, and she can give it. And then the masculine force, which is like the widescreen television that you're watching this image on, right? You're seeing it through the masculine in that sense. And here comes the synastry of the moon. Boom. And so your will, which is the widescreen TV of your focus of life, the blinders, is now somehow got something else in its view. Not necessarily blocking its view, it could be, but there's something else in focus that causes your will to change. And that is happy wife, happy life concept, right? Like that whole idea of just the feminine coming in. We just had this, I believe it was pronounced Pascal moon, right? Transit through the first of spring, that first moon in spring, first super moon. It's also called a worm moon. March, we call it the worm moon. And typically that's because the earthworm, the soil gets really soft and the earthworm starts to come up, which causes the robins to want to come out and snap them, which is a very spring thing, right? The birds being active, winter, the birds are coming back, spring, okay. Flowers are blooming, okay. We're coming out, warmer weather. Babies are being born, sun in Aries. Sorry if you hear a little clanking. I have the snackless on right now. Should have taken it off, but I literally just passed out from the vaccination. It could have been just a side effect. But I just like passed out with all of my clothes on and I literally just woke up in from the pool, from this pool of the moon, and was drawn to the podcast right now. And I just did a lot of re a little bit of research before, not a lot, but a little bit of research before, to gather my thoughts together so I could share this moment in a sincere moment with you guys, as we like transit on. And I was thinking about Julia Chiesa. Shout out to Julia Chiesa. She's been so encouraging. I've had these women in my life, trans women, cis women, and they've been so supportive. And Julia, which is a dear friend of mine from way back in college when we went to University of North Carolina School of the Arts. We haven't seen each other in such a long time, and she's had such amazing experiences in Australia and New Zealand, being a visual artist, being a dancer like me. We both were in school for dance at the time when we met. And she's now in California. She's now a new mom, and she's out there having this burn ritual experience with this women's group, which I hope to participate in at some point in time. I've been invited on the Zoom, and I'd love to be a part of it, where they come together and they release and they invoke or evoke things. And it's just a beautiful sense of womanhood and of unity. And that cycle of womanhood, a circle of unity, is really reflected in the feminine, right? Because the woman, the moon, the round, the circle of life itself is coming from a woman. It's through her portal that we all continue. You can't have babies, right? In that sense. So just the idea of womanhood. Right? And it doesn't make you less of a woman if you're barren, but the idea of womanhood comes through that portal, this continuation of the circle. And so women kind of have this natural understanding of that, being pulled by the moon, and also their menstruation and their cycles can link up, and all of this, their bodies even just link up. It's emotional, it's physical, it's spiritual. It's all of those things. A lot of the times women have to get power in numbers. They call ranks together in that sense because men typically are physically stronger. So usually it requires more of them. I'm gonna call my girls, that kind of thing. Also, the moon itself is strongest in a feminine sign. That's where it has its most power at. Although the moon was in Libra and it was full, Libra is still Venus. And the exaltation of the moon is in Taurus, which is the other Venus placement. So the moon in Libra is it's a nice, gushy place for you to really think about how you receive in the sound waves, the thought waves, the intentions of the world, of other people, how you relate, because how you relate is how you get to your happiness, you know? It's not actually based on the physical, because things are things, but it's how we relate to each other and the things that we have that actually draws in the happiness, right? Having things is Taurian, relating to things is Libra. Both of those are Venus, which is talking about the synthesis, the Empress. 1, 2, 3, go. 1, 2, 3, stop. The wife, even. I'm highlighting the wife a lot right now because the wife is the moon. The moon is the wife to the earth. It's a marriage. They need each other. So, this full moon in Libra is just bringing out this whole idea the title of this podcast, Trusting in Your Fantasy, is like the idea of the Sun in Aries will, you seeing clearly with things, you wanting to establish things for yourself as an ego, as an identity. And then the synastry of something coming in and possibly conjuncting or colliding or intercepting with the construction of your will for possibly your greater development, heightened emotions, could be soulmate, twin flame. It could just be a really interesting lesson. Any way you look at it, it's the push and pull of the first and the seventh house, especially with the Sun being in Aries, right? The Moon being in Libra. The Sun and the Moon conjunct with each other. The Sun can strengthen or weaken the Moon. Usually the Sun is a malefic planet, blah, 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 right? And by that, I mean, it's stubborn in its intentions. It's fixed in its intentions. It is not going to be wavering in its intentions. It's the Sun. So other planets have to align with its will. Saturn is the same way. Pluto is the same way. Whereas the Moon, which is a receptive and soft and gushy and more surrendering kind of planet, is more likely to be eclipsed by that whole experience of the Sun. But not always. Like in my case, they're domicile, so they work well together. Domicile meaning they're at home, Cancer, Moon, Sun, and Leo. But sometimes the intentions of the Sun or the awareness of the Sun, which is like a flashlight to your galaxy. It's like you turning on the light in your room in the middle of the night, right? The awareness of turning the light on and seeing what's in your galaxy then makes you feel things. I like my room. I don't like my room. I like who's in my room. I don't like who's in my room. I like my things, but I need to move them around. I need to clean. I don't need to clean. This is perfect. I need to dust. I want to move stuff. Right? The will is coming from the awareness, which is why the Sun, which is your awareness, you turn the light on, is exalted in Aries. It's the best placement. And exaltation is talking about the best place it could be. So the Sun in Aries is now. It's the best place it could be, which is why in the springtime, we feel the most motivated. We feel the most motivated a lot because we just went through winter. We just went through winter. It was dark. It was bleak. It was all these things. And now it's getting warmer and it's more satisfying. And birds are out. It's just a natural progression of the earth, of the seasons being recycled in our lives. You've been in that same room. You were in the same room yesterday and the day before that too. But some reason you woke up in the middle of the night, you turned the light on and you looked around today. What was different today? That feeling is like the full moon, right? The feeling of just sensing like you have to do it. Like that's that. The new moon is like your decision to turn the light on, right? The full moon is more reactive. It's like, it's a more of a stimulus. It's internal. It's like all of these things that accumulate, you know, all the fingers make a fist, that type of thing. It's full. You've gathered the information. And so with these two balances happening and spring going on at the same time, how are we all relating? How are we all feeling about each other? I mean, we were literally told last year, social distance, this year too, but even more so, you know? It's still very scary. Everything is. You know, I still worry a lot about, you know, my family and wanting to visit. And my grandparents who are in their 80s and being a New Yorker with a big, bad, strong immune system, going down there to see them, wanting to see them. You know, and certain people are not for the vaccination. And this would be a very good conversation to bring up later on the podcast when I have more guests as well. Right? The full moon brings out all of the highlights. And my mother, the moon, right? Cancer, does not want to necessarily do the vaccination. And I was getting really kind of like passionate with her about how I think she should. And I understand her spirituality and her sacred and divine connection to the rhythmic understanding of the umbrella of God, the Trinity, and Jesus and Holy Ghost and what it can do for you. I completely believe in God. I completely believe in the Trinity. I believe in God particle. I believe that in faith and all of those things. I also believe that working hands are better than praying hands, even though praying hands are important. It's this idea of the doing sometimes, and that's kind of like the Aquarius in me, Aquarius Midhaven, right? Which is that idea of prescriptions and, you know, the internet and prosthetics and surgeries, you know, like life has moved forward and, you know, certain things that seemed really scary to certain people at certain points in time are just regular things now for us, like the chickenpox vaccination. You can't even go to school without chickenpox vaccination. It's a simple thing. You don't even think about it. But now when you get introduced to this new idea of a new vaccine, you're resistant to it, which is natural. It's natural for us to be resistant to it. It's natural for you to be resistant to anything that the government might be trying to instill inside of you, you know? But this makes me think also of Capricorn to Cancer, right? Capricorn, which is at the top of that mountain, has that view. It's the last of the earth. It has now been proven. We've gone all the way through the mountain. We have all this experience. We've mastered it. Its ruling planet, Saturn, is the planet of karma. Karma, honey. Okay. Not just your karma, karma of the earth. Your mama's karma, your mama's karma, your father's karma, all of our karma, karma, which opposes your moon, which is Cancer, your emotional state, what you feel, right? Saturn is time. The moon is like your mom. All moms fear time when it comes to their children. They're growing up. Oh, gosh. You know, it's just natural. Oh, this is happening so fast. Oh, no, they're going to be gone soon. That's that natural feeling inside of you. That emotional intelligence inside of you resisting the physical outside of you. Resisting this thing that might actually be beneficial for you, might actually be better for you. And it might actually be related to other things that are not just about you, like family, right? This idea of family is a full circle. Family is always going to affect you emotionally. There's no escaping that, even if you don't have one. The fact that you don't have one affects you emotionally. There's no escaping emotions and family. Family is Capricorn, which is earth, karma. I come from this, I am this, I have these things, the neighborhood. And then you, Cancer, emotional intelligence, the way you need to love, the way your mother loved you, the way you want to love something, the way you water your plants, the way you walk your dog, the way you brush your teeth in the morning and you talk to yourself or don't talk to yourself, the way you look at yourself with intense eye contact and pluck your eyebrows, or the way you won't look at yourself for a long period of time. You won't look at anyone for a long period of time. In the eyes. All of that is Cancer, water. What's going on inside the moon? Moon Talk Radio. So trusting in your fantasy, Mercury and Pisces transit to the subconscious Pisces, the awareness of the sun, the flashlight of your galaxy, was just in Pisces, which is like your subconscious. We were all kind of asleep too. It was winter time. We've been hibernating. We're still hibernating, technically. We're still social distancing. We're still at the very beginning precipice. You know, I couldn't even get the vaccination because I wasn't at a certain age. A lot of us can't. And then I started working and this opportunity hit. It came in. So you guys look at NYC State Health website if you need to try to book a vaccination appointment. That's how it happened for me. I wasn't able to go through my regular doctor's appointment. I had a physical scheduled and everything. And we have another one scheduled and have my labs and everything, of course, because I'm a Black trans woman. But I wasn't able to get that. You know, I didn't fit the criteria, and so many people don't. But then you're finding out that you do, and there are ways to go about getting it. It might be better to try to go to a clinic or something like that. I was at St. Anne's in the Bronx. They were wonderful over there. And it was St. Anne's, like a church or school. But anyway, I'm putting that out there because I'm relating Moon and Libra and it's full to what we're all feeling. This is where we've been. We've all been doing time with all those planets that just transited Capricorn. Capricorn is a symbolization of the mountain or prison. If you're on a mountain, that's why a lot of people who go to prison, not many people who go to prison, not everyone, they become more educated. They're more educated. They start reading books. They start getting more of a focus. The ones who get rehabilitated and build structured lives after. Or like this idea of Malcolm X, you know, like that's very that concept of doing time. What were you doing during your time in your prison? Because we know that prison and palace both start with P. Look at Princess Diana. She was a Cancer, right? That idea of having things does not mean that you are happy, right? That's why the moon is exalted in Taurus, which is happy with the feelings of what you have physically. And what you have physically doesn't have to be money. It could be, once again, like your wife or your life or your job or yourself or, you know, your children, things that are priceless to you, things that you get a feeling from your dog. A lot of those things that are physical, that you get those feelings from, are things that you relate to, things that can relate back to you. I don't care if it's just a bird going, "Peacock!" Okay? I don't care if it's a goldfish that looks at you and gets excited when you drop pellets into the water. You're getting a feeling from it. It's satisfying to you because you're relating to it. You're on a seesaw and it's a scale, and that's the thing on the other side of the scale. Libra, moon in Libra, full moon in Libra, sun in Aries. Awareness of your mind, your thoughts, your movie, your car. Right? And the rules and regulations of the road, and what you can get away with and can't get away with, and how much gas do you have and not have, who's in the car with you and who's not. I have Gemini rising and Gemini north node, so sometimes it's not about the actions, it's just about the observation, the objectivity of it, right? Sometimes just knowing is powerful. It doesn't mean you have to change your behavior or something. That's synastry. You could change your behavior, meeting someone or something like that. But it's just knowing it is powerful. It's like the idea of denial versus, you know, denial is a powerful thing. But it's only when we stop learning that we begin to know. That quote is anonymous, but it came from Bob Moyer, which is a dear teacher of mine, a professor of mine from University of North Carolina School of the Arts. Again, full circle there. Full moon. It's only when you stop learning that you begin to know. So we never really know anything. It kind of keeps you in this place of like, right? Because it's like when you know something, snap two heads in a circle, roll off your shoulders. You can't really be told anything. That's why grandma and granddad just have to die sometimes. And I don't mean that in a horrible way. I mean that in the evolution of the world. They know things. They've learned life now. And they're not going to be as acceptable with learning something new, because this is the perspective of life for them. It's fixed in the knowing. It's not as easy to just go back to school and learn something new when you haven't been in school for 40 or 50 years. It's a whole different concept of life. It's like trying to teach your grandparents how to work the internet. We've all been there. You look like Jesus to them. Okay? It's like, you know? And it's because of the awareness of something and the ability for you to relate it or relay it to them with care. With care. And patience and understanding. Libra moon. Right? And in that patience and that care and that understanding is in you because of the patience and care and understanding that they had for you in raising you. It's a circle. Circle of life. Right? Circle. Ba, 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 ba. Right? Womanhood. Circle. Grandma, Mama, Mother Earth, okay, full moon. These are the things I just wanted to highlight in this podcast today. So your dreams, maybe you want to start keeping a dream journal or something like that. I've been thinking a lot about Uranus and Neptune and how, you know, once we had the telescope and we discovered these planets that were always influencing us, right? I just saw 4444 on the podcast. How that changed our will and our perspective and our knowledge of things. Right? Aquarius or Uranus, which is egotistical energy, which is saying, yeah, you need to have some of it too. Right? And then Neptune, Pisces, which is non-egotistical, which is saying, oh, you really need this more here. Okay, you need this. You know? Okay. This two ideas of how we relate. Also the benefactors. Historically, Jupiter used to rule Aquarius, which is a benefactor. Venus is exalted in Pisces, which is a benefactor. So these planets that are always good for you, no matter what, are in these places of what you give out and what you take in, and how you surrender and how you teach, right? How you relate, how you relay. And I think we've all learned a lot through social distancing and doing time. We've learned a lot about our own will, especially in 2020, with Mars being in retrograde for the 5 months or so, 4 or 5, or however long it was retrograde. It might not have been that long, but it was retrograde for a while. In Aries, that's domicile. That means it was at home, Aries, right? So Mars, which is the will, was retrograde. That's our minds. That's all of us going back. We all had to think about our identity. We all had to start rethinking how we're going to work and how we're talking to people and who we talk to and why we talk to them and what we want to build and where we're going. We all had to do it because we were all going through the transits of Capricorn, which was doing time. The larger planets were forcing us to be on this mountain. So we're being forced to be on the mountain and to think about ourselves. Like we really, I don't want to think about myself. It don't matter. You still have to. It doesn't matter if you don't want to think about yourself. Where are you going to go? You can't escape yourself. You're in your room. You can't talk to anybody else really, unless you have roommates or you're talking on the phone and stuff. You can't really go out. It's not really that safe. There were so many things that forced you to deal with yourself. So it really kind of got down to the core of whether you like you or not. Whether you love yourself or not. And how much more you need to, or how much less you need to put awareness into yourself and your own will. And that's all being highlighted again right now. Highlighter, highlight the sun, light, flashlight, galaxy, being highlighted in the paragraph that we're writing astrologically or through the zodiac, right? Aries, first paragraph, highlight. We're going to highlight this whole paragraph. And we're going back to the draft of the essay, which was last year. To think about all those little circles that we put in there when we were putting our paragraph together. Yeah, we're thinking about the predicate and the subject and all of the grammar and everything. It's all being highlighted in the paragraph now. So it's a really good time to think about spiritually, like how you move in the world. Because fire is talking about spirit, awareness. Come on, guys. Do you believe in love? Don't wait for a second, miss, baby. Right? Put your love to the test. Right? You know, like it's you. It's up to you. It's a you thing. It's personal. It's a personal thing for everyone. It's your forehead. It's Aries. It's you as a baby deciding you're going to walk today and everybody getting excited that you're going to do it. Oh my God, get the camera. They're doing it. Oh my God. It's that moment. That's it. That's what it is. For yourself. Trusting in your fantasy. Trusting in your higher self. Trusting in the sinistry of your life. Trusting in God's will for your life. Trusting in the God in you. Trusting in all of those things. I hope this podcast was helpful for you guys today. I'm definitely going to be pushing out more and more, you know, as we're adjusting. I'm here in New York, in the greater New Yorker area. If you guys want to connect with me, if you have any questions about anything that we discussed on the podcast, you can email me at radiomoontalk@gmail.com. I mentioned Julia Chiesa earlier, and it's coming back to mind again because I was talking about that women's circle and the burn. She also sent an email to me for people who are gay women or men who might be interested in a film. And I wanted to make sure I did a little highlight really quickly of the podcast, and I'll try to put it in the credits. So if you're interested, she said that she is producing a film in Australia, and she said she's looking for anyone who might have an experience with conversation therapy or conversion therapy as a gay woman or man, and was wondering if you know anyone who might be willing to share their story. Okay. They do research, and it's always good having the firsthand knowledge, she's saying. I'm like scanning the email as I'm trying to share it with you. Okay. And her email is info.enoughsaid@gmail.com. If you guys are interested, I'd like to have like a platform for the LGBTQ community always as well. On Moon Talk Radio, and when I do things with GRAY, which is the acronym of my name, which Girls Really Are Yearning, which is the whole organization that we'll be working towards in the future. And watch some of the other podcasts if you have any questions about that. I'm going to leave you with a poem today. It's from the New American Poetry Edition from 1945 to 1960, edited by Donald Allen. My mentor, I have a lot of really amazing ones, but my visual arts and poetry mentor, Florence Kendo, she's been sending me some really amazing books recently. And so I found this very short poem that made me think of the full moon. I wanted to share it. And it's by Joel Oppenheimer, and it's called The Bath. He will insist on reading things into her simplest act, her bath, which she takes because he wills it so, her bath she takes to cleanse herself, ritual, ritual always in his life. She takes her bath to ready herself, and himself more often than not decides she wants him unbathed, manlike. What he is most pleased about is her continuing bathing in his tub, in his water. Wife. I thought that was really beautiful because we were talking about visions and we were talking about what the moon is to the earth, which is that dual partnership of the emotional intelligence, that intersection of something coming in to the construction of your own sight that's beneficial for you. Okay. I hope that was helpful for you guys, and I look forward to connecting with you soon. Happy Easter for those who celebrate it. And this is Gray signing out with Moon Talk Radio. See you soon.